Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fan, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Sunday. Very quickly, before we jump into things with our guest, some show notes. If you are looking for some wrestling today, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, like usual, at the North Portland Eagles. They have Ring of Honor's Brutal Bob Evans on the show today. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood at Port Hueneme, California. PPW in Denver, Colorado, ACW in Newport Richey, Florida, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, XICW in Warren, Michigan, and GAW running today in Knoxville, Tennessee. And without further ado, I'd like to bring our guest on to the show today. Do we have with us Sin Bodhi?
Sure do. How are you doing, man?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday to join us. Now, our first question for you, since it's your first time on our program, we ask all the first-time guests this. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
When I was a little kid, I lived on a small little farmhouse outside of town, and it was very hard to get in, you know, after school to play and hang out or whatever. It was almost like a little field trip for me to go and hang out with the kids. So I spent a lot of time in this farmhouse by myself, and my face would be in comic books, or I'd be watching cartoons or TV or something, and it was either comic books or wrestling, and wrestling was sort of a real-life version of comic books, and, you know, it just kind of spun out from there.
Oh, I want to talk a little bit about what you have going on lately. You're one of the proponents of freak show wrestling, one of the people to keep that going. Can you tell us a little bit about what freak show wrestling is and how you've been doing with that since you launched it?
Yeah, no problem. Freak show wrestling is a hybrid variety show of wrestling, comedy, magic, burlesque, sideshow, music. It's just a big battle royal of fun. Everything I ever tried to pitch at WWE, and, you know, all the writers would look at me like I had two heads or whatever. They'd say, oh, what a great idea, and they would never, ever implement anything. This is just everything in my brain with the restrictor off, like anything goes. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's sexy, sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's holy crap, you know, just all across the board, just a giant roller coaster of fun. You know, we would have sword swallowers or midgets or, you know, invisible cage matches, Michael Jackson knife fights, anti-gravity matches, all sorts of crazy stuff. And I would have different wrestlers from across the land come in, and a lot of my buddies, former WWE guys, would come in and would sort of put them in what I consider kindergarten cop situations of, you know, putting them in situations that you've never seen them in before. You know, you take serious performers like Jake the Snake or Gangrel or Boogeyman, and you put them in stuff like a yoga match or a Michael Jackson knife fight or something, and just watch the gold ensue.
Freak Show Wrestling is out of Las Vegas. Did you purposely go to Las Vegas to launch Freak Show Wrestling knowing that would be the proper place, or was it something that you didn't necessarily think too much of where you wanted to launch Freak Show and just happened to be Las Vegas?
Well, I was living in Florida, and when I got my release from WWE, the first phone call I got was from Jim Rose of the Jim Rose Circus, asked me to come and work with him. And he was based in Las Vegas at the time, and he was suggesting that I move out there. He was thinking, you know, a performer like me with, you know, all the creative ideas and what have you, he thought Las Vegas would be built for me and I would be built for Las Vegas. And so sure enough, that's what I did. I packed my bags and I headed out there and loved it ever since.
Now, for Freak Show Wrestling, since Las Vegas is sort of a touristy town, a lot of people from all over travel to Las Vegas for entertainment. Do you find yourself with a lot of regular fans from Las Vegas, or do you find a lot of the crowds are made up of the tourists that are looking to see what's going on with Freak Show Wrestling? Maybe wrestling fans, maybe not.
A little bit of both. Las Vegas is sort of divided into two, locals and tourists. And there's all sorts of deals for shows for both. You know, if you're a local, you get this deal. If you're a tourist, you get that deal. There's all sorts of different promotions and what have you. You have to understand that on any given night in Las Vegas, there's like 187 different shows you can go to. So there's all sorts of, you know, promotional things running at any given time to cater to both sides of the fence. The locals will support, you know, a good fun show. And then also too, making it available and making it known to tourists is also a bit of a trick. So you have to, you know, do the right kind of advertising and what have you. So people that are coming in town that don't know anything about Las Vegas or maybe don't know anything about Freak Show Wrestling and they're just looking for a fun show, then we have to be able to put that on their radar somehow. So my partner, my loving Creepy Karen, she really handles a lot of the business element of that, making sure all the tourists and different people see where we need to advertise Freak Show Wrestling. And she does a lot of that work, so this artsy-fartsy jerk can focus on giving the fans the craziest ideas and so forth.
Now, I know in your career you've traveled quite a bit. You've wrestled all over North America. One of the things I've always noticed is in wrestling, a lot of places tended to gravitate towards the style that was there in the territorial days. A lot of fans like the style of wrestling from the territory, wherever they're at. Do you find yourself noticing that sort of thing in your travels, where if you go to, say, Alberta, a lot of the fans tend to like the older Stampede style of wrestling, or if you go to Memphis, they like the old Memphis brawling type of style more than other styles of wrestling?
Yeah, every place is geographically unique. You know, you want the hardcore stuff, it's Detroit. You want the walk and talk stuff, it's Memphis. You want the catch as catch can, it's England. You want the high spotty cruiserweight kind of stuff, it's, you know, East Coast, what have you, different things. You know, you want the brawling stuff, it's down in Puerto Rico or whatever. You want the lucha, it's in Mexico. You want the strong style, it's in Japan. You know, all the different places have the different styles. I think if you're a savvy wrestler, you still, you know, you keep your integrity and you bring what you bring to the table, but you do adjust a little bit to accommodate the styles and the fans and the opponents. It's all storytelling, you know, like take Rey Mysterio versus Kane or Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle or vice versa, Kane versus Kurt Angle, what have you. Three very different characters that know how to gel with each other in, you know, various styles. And that's what I'm very proud about Freak Show Wrestling, is it's a big blend of all those different styles. So there's hardcore stuff 1 second, there's funny stuff another second, high-flying stuff the next minute, then, you know, sexy stuff, scary stuff, holy shit stuff. You know, it's a big, giant roller coaster, and I like to mesh all the styles. And then that way, you know, whether it's locals or tourists, everybody is happy, because, you know, when you go to the circus, you don't want to just see rodeo clowns or elephants. You want to see everything. You want to see high flying and motorcycle tricks and jugglers and fire breathers and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, you want to see all sorts of different stuff. And that's what we deliver at Freak Show.
Now, in your career, just based on all the shows you've been involved in and the various promotions you've worked for, whom would you say were the hardest fans for you to be able to relate with and be able to give them what they were wanting?
I think I've always done a pretty good job of understanding the fans and you know, giving them what they want. I think the hardest place for me to ever have adapted was WWE, because it wasn't so much a regional place, but it was more of the, you know, the writers didn't know what they wanted. The agents didn't know what they wanted. They were too busy kind of pandering to what they thought Vince wanted when they didn't, you know, Vince didn't even know what he wanted. So for me to just swim in that sort of a terrain was very unsettling for me. You know, I just wanted to do a good job. I was excited to be there. And I found it very creatively stifling. Like my cup of coffee, so to speak, at WWE was rewarding in the sense that, you know, it gave me a little bit of exposure. It let me be in the ring with a lot of tremendous performers and coaches. But at the same time, it was a place that is very unsure of itself. And, you know, if they had just decided, hey, be funny, be scary, be this, be that, you know, I would have accommodated. But they didn't even know what they wanted. And everything that I threw at them, you know, maybe because it wasn't their idea, so to speak, or what have you, but I felt very stifled there. So that's WWE. It is, as much as I love it, you know, I'm not a, you know, a crybaby or anything. I thought my time there could have been much more beneficial to both myself and the WWE universe if we had gotten on the same page and if we had listened to each other. I think that would have been a lot better.
I know that coming from Canada, you probably also noticed that there's differences in how Canadian fans react to professional wrestling as opposed to American fans. Was it hard very early in your career to make adjustments as far as being able to deliver what the fans wanted in Canada versus what they wanted and expected in the United States?
Well, I sort of hit the road very early in my career, and I left Toronto very early in my career, so early that I had really no clue what I was doing when I left Canada. So, I mean, as far as entertaining the fans, you know, I just tried my hardest, whether I you know, didn't know a whole lot. And so I think some fans were forgiving of that, and some fans, you know, it's just a very weird thing where, because you say Canada and U.S., I mean, within both of those places, there's very different taste of fans. Again, you know, you go into Toronto and it's sort of a more hoity-toity kind of a place. And then you go into, you know, Calgary and Edmonton, which is more blue collar. And then you go into Vancouver, which is a little bit more hippie-ish, a little bit more L.A. kind of a vibe. And then, you know, going into the States, you know, you've got all sorts of every different style you can possibly think of in any different, you know, town or city or state or what have you. You know, you want some old school stuff, you want some new school stuff, you want high flying, hardcore, or funny stuff, serious stuff. You know, so in my travels, both America and the States and across the pond in England and Europe and, you know, down south in Puerto Rico or Mexico, what have you, you know, you learn to adapt. And then, you know, the audience is the audience, and they're there to have fun. They're paying their hard-earned money to have fun, so you better entertain them.
Today in independent wrestling, there's several affiliated promotions. A lot of promotions have joined one of the various affiliates. There's the UIWA, the AIWF, and, of course, the NWA still out there with a lot of promotions belonging to it. What do you think of the affiliated programs as it relates to independent wrestling in today's landscape?
Well, I think, you know, the territory mentality is a great idea. You know, I think if shows work together, I've traveled a lot, and something that I have seen that is very common in different places is that local shows are having these little Mickey Mouse wars with other little local shows instead of just working together, dropping their egos, and trying to create something bigger and better. I think if shows work together, then, you know, more fans will see their product. I think the wrestlers will get more experience in front of live crowds. I think the houses will grow, the fans will be happier, the promoters and performers will be happier, and it'll just be all around a good thing.
Agreed.
I do not ever kayfabe, as we say, like other, you know, local shows. I don't discredit them. I don't downplay them. I don't ignore them. I put them over. You know, I'll like and share their stuff when I see it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You know, like there's other great shows in Las Vegas. There's lots of great shows all over the place, you know, Los Angeles, everywhere, just everywhere. And I think if you lead by example, and, you know, it'd be one thing to say, oh, yeah, you know, support your local shows and then never do it, you know. But, I mean, if I see stuff like I see, you know, the Chic running shows in L.A. or, you know, Chikara running shows out in Philly or wherever, you know, different shows. I mean, I like that stuff, or, you know, Glam Slam up in Vancouver, or, you know, different places, you know, Real Action up in Calgary and so forth. You know, I think whether I'm on those shows or not, I always try to share those shows or like them or, you know, put little comments in them, you know, friendly stuff, you know, like, hey, guys, go support these shows and what have you. I think leading by example is one thing. And, you know, I think your actions speak louder than words. So there you have it.
You mentioned Gangrel a little while ago, and I had the pleasure of seeing you and he team up in our neck of the woods in Portland a few weeks ago for WCWC. You're there quite a bit. What do you think of the job WCWC is doing here in the Pacific Northwest?
I think the WC is a really fun show. It is a very well put together show. It's got a lot of talented people on the show. I think it can only grow. I think it needs the fan support, and I was really happy last time I walked through the curtain. Me and Gangrel, we were there to get weird and do some fanging and banging, and it was a packed show, and I thought that was awesome. And I think the fans need to keep that up and show their support, and in turn, the wrestlers will keep on delivering awesomeness. And I think it's just a perpetual circle of success, and I think that pertains to not just the WC, but, you know, Paragon Pro Wrestling and FSW and Freak Show and Hood Slam and, you know, every UIPW and every show under the sun.
One of the other things I saw at WC was something I wanted to see in person for a very long time, finally came true. That was Darren Corbin's slow motion. He broke out a tag team slow motion with Matt Stryker. Are you a fan of Darren Corbin's slow motion at all?
Yeah, we've done stuff like that on Freak Show quite a bit. I think it's a funny spot. I think, you know, that sort of a spot has its place on shows. I think, you know, I mean, people ask me all the time, like, about Freak Show being, you know, an alternative show and what have you. I don't think alternative spots like the slow-mo spot and everything is necessarily alternative. I think it's just genuitive. You know, like if you rewind and you saw the Golden Era and then you saw the Attitude Era and then you saw like the ECW Era and all these different things, as they were happening, there was a lot of naysayers. But as you look back in history, people look fondly on those moments in wrestling. So I think, you know, I've had guys like Kevin Sullivan or Dr. Tom or Jake the Snake, who are all old school guys and serious performers in the ring. Like, they didn't do a lot of ha-ha or anything. They were all very serious. And, you know, they've all been guests on Freak Show. And, you know, when we do stuff like the slow-mo spot or just anything, you know, the invisible cage match or the anti-gravity match or what have you, you know, they would all giggle and shake their heads and say, you know, this is the next step in wrestling, which is a massive compliment to me. And I'm very proud that they would say that. And it was validating because they all said the same thing at different points, like not in front of each other, you know. So how do they serendipitously come up with that same thing unless it's, you know, how it is?
One of the more overlooked aspects in professional wrestling, in my opinion, is the referee. A lot of promoters today just don't seem to grasp the importance of a good quality referee and what it means to their shows. Who are some of the better referees that you have worked with in your career, and who are some of the referees that you've come across just recently that promoters should be after to get on their shows?
Well, I think having a referee being useful in a wrestling match, that's a lot of lost art kind of stuff. I think a lot of guys these days don't know how to implement the referee, how to call with the referee. Again, that's very old school stuff, and that's very, very clever stuff. And a lot of indie guys, you know, they just don't know how to do it. They don't know what that is, and there's not enough old school guys on the road teaching them how to do that. I would highly recommend, you know, okay, first off, I would just say, like, you don't just put a monkey in striped shirts and send him in the ring. Like, that's what we do at Freak Show. We literally put a guy in a monkey suit and a referee jersey to, you know, spoof and farce, you know, what I think is wrong with pro wrestling. You know, but on a conventional show, for lack of a better term, you know, referees shouldn't just be decoration. Like, referees are not turnbuckles or guardrails. Referees are there to serve a purpose. And again, whether the fans don't need to realize it. That's part of the smoke and mirrors of pro wrestling. But a savvy referee will definitely enhance your show, will definitely enhance your match. And, I mean, two of the best in the world right now is Little Heppner and Marty Elias. You know, Heppner's over at TNA, and Marty is the head ref at Lucha Underground. They're both clever as hell. And, you know, I was giggling with Marty the other day on the phone talking about how some promoters, they don't want to spend money on bringing in a quality referee. And I understand that they're spending their budget on name talent to help quarterback the shows and what have you in their different territories or towns or what have you. But, you know, having a guy like that on the show, I mean, you know, a guy like Marty or Heppner, I mean, they've been in the ring with Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Triple H, the list goes on and on and on. They know their shit, and they can only help relay and convey new ideas of, you know, telling guys in the ring, slow down, speed up, lay it in, do this, do that, take it home, you know, whatever, whatever. Any pertinent details that the wrestlers need to know in the ring that they are not coming to on their own conclusions. So, you know, the referees are a very esoteric and instrumental part of a wrestling match, whether fans realize it or not. Just like when you go to see a really cool movie, you go to watch, you know, Captain America or something, not realizing how many, you know, okay, the actor's cool, he's got a cool costume and he's fighting cool bad guys, but not realizing how many behind the scenes people, how many camera crew or producers or different things helped contribute to, you know, the coolness of that movie as in its entirety. You know, a referee does that, you know, good booking does that, good advertising does that, nice set deck does that. I mean, how many times have you ever seen a really crappy WWE match, like maybe on like Superstars or Shotgun or Velocity or something, and it was terrible, but it looked all right because the pyro was great and the fans were packed and blah, blah, blah. And then you see, you know, a really great match on an indie show in front of 20 people and in a little crappy little ring in a brightly lit gymnasium, and the match looks awful because just of its surroundings, you know, where if you swapped out those performers, like I remember seeing a match with like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens in some little gymnasium in front of 20 people. And the match was awesome. And it looked crappy because there was 20 people in there and it was a brightly lit gymnasium. And then I've seen other, you know, big muscly superstars on WWE who couldn't wrestle their way out of a wet paper bag look moderately okay because the background surroundings looked so awesome. But if you would swap those characters out, if you put that big muscle head in that little 20-person indie show, or if you put AJ and Owens in that WWE ring, you know, look how drastically different it would have turned out. So, you know, I mean, there's so many different elements that people don't realize that go into a good wrestling show, let alone a good wrestling match, let alone a good persona in the ring.
We have a game we like to play on our show called Word Association, a bit of a psychological game where all throughout the names of some people that you've come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head to describe them is the answer. Are you willing to play a round of word association?
Bring it.
First name, Jake Roberts.
Master psychologist.
James Mitchell.
Creepy MF-er.
Michael Cole.
Eh.
Edge.
Lots of teeth.
Eugene Dinsmore.
Very underrated.
Dusty Rhodes.
Brilliant.
Andrea the Giant.
unique.
John Cena.
Two left feet.
Mike Tenay.
Nice guy.
The last one, James Storm.
Love his accent.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by with some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Oh, thank you, Sunday. Hello, good Arnie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Kazarni, I'd like to expand a little on Sign Guy's word association. How about Northwest wrestling promoter Tex Thompson?
Nice dude. Very nice guy. Old school.
All right. Gorgeous George.
The dude or the chick?
All right. George the Animal Steel.
That wasn't an answer. That was a question.
It was just word association with Gorgeous George. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm a word association on Gorgeous George the guy or Gorgeous George the girl?
Oh, the guy, yes.
Industry trend setting.
Oh, okay, industry trend setting. I got to mark that down. Okay. George the Animal Steel.
Brilliant and creative. Ahead of his time.
Oh, okay. Pioneer type. Okay, very good.
Yes.
How
pioneer,
about
Lou Fez? Yeah, pioneer. Lou Fez?
Yes.
Shooter.
Okay, shooter. Okay. King Kong Bundy.
Ominous.
All right. Scary Sherry.
Scary.
Oh, okay. All right. That concludes my word association. Very good. Well, Kazarni, I saw your YouTube video entitled Kazarni's Tag Match with Eugene, Wrestling Stories Number 4. And you were telling the story of how Eugene got you in a double wrist lock and he rode you around the ring and made motorcycle noises. Well, your room noises sounded like a Harley Davidson. My question is, when you were out here in the Northwest giving your training seminar at the Tiger Grange Hall, did you run into the vicious street gang, the Venti Lattes, the outlaw gang named after an extra large coffee?
I do not recall that. I'm sure if I did run into a street gang named after coffee drinks, I'm sure I would have remembered that. But it sounds wonderfully dangerous, and I would love to be standing in a ring with said performers.
Wow, all right, okay. All right, well, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington.
I'll make sure to not wear wrist tape. I'll just wear those little cup warmer thingies around my wrists instead, just so nothing gets too hot.
The cup warmers, yes, very good. All right, well, those Venti Lattes are a vicious group. Yes, sometimes they escort old ladies
very caffeinated
street against their will. Yes,
gotcha. sounds diabolical. Sounds like somebody I would like to wrestle.
Well, I think the Venti Lattes would kind of back down and run tail with their loud motorcycle noises if they saw you. Yes. Well, Kazarni, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that there is a freak show wrestling event at the Fremont Country Club in Las Vegas on Saturday, October 22nd, and that Cody Rhodes will be in attendance, and he might be wearing an evil rubber rooster mask. Are there any truth to these rumors?
Everything except I cannot comment on the rooster mask. I'm not sure how Cody Rhodes will display himself, but he will be there in Las Vegas at the Fremont Country Club October 22 for Freaks of Wrestling. He'll be taking on our Freaks of Wrestling champion, Funny Bone, who was the last student out of the Nick Bockwinkel wrestling camp. So just like how TJ Tyson Kidd was the last guy out of the dungeon, Funny Bone was the last guy out of Bockwinkel's camp, and he is just awesome. If you took Boogeyman and Finn Balor and Chris Jericho and smashed them all together, you would get Funny Bone. He is technically awesome. He's a brawler. He's a high flyer. He looks great. He's scary. And he's definitely going to give Cody Rhodes a run for his money.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. Are you a big fan of Chris Jericho's rock band Fozzy?
I am a very big fan of Chris Jericho and his rock band Fozzy. I think Moongoose McQueen is one of my favorite frontmen of all time. I think he is phenomenal. I think he is very, very talented. He is so talented that he disguises so much stuff in facetiousness that is what makes him one of my favorites. He can walk out of the ring, and just with a single hand gesture, he can relay and convey, you know, his disdain or what have you. I really am amused by him. He makes me laugh to no end.
Well, how many Fozzy shows have you been to?
Me and Edge went to one years and years ago. It was really, really fun. I would love to figure out something with Fozzy and with Freak Show Wrestling. I think that would be a super-duper fun night.
Now, how many people were in attendance at that Fozzy concert that you went to? How many people?
Oh, I don't know the exact number, but it was pretty wall-to-wall. It was like an ocean of humans in there. It was pretty awesome.
Wow, all right. All right, well, Kazani, at that Saturday, October 22nd show at the Fremont Country Club, are there any truth to the rumors that the shock rock group GWAR will be playing during the intermission?
We have one of the GWAR OGs, Techno Destructo, the Scumdog of the Universe. He is a regular on Freak Show Wrestling, and he will be in action, absolutely. So all the GWAR fans out there, come and see Techno Destructo get all violent while he's surrounded by rings and ring ropes and turnbuckles. It will be tremendous. We'll have a couple of Lucha Underground stars. We'll have Marty the Moth and Willie Mack. We will have all sorts of guys. I'll be wrestling Serial Man. How dare he steal my thunder at the last show? So now he will pay. He, after I'm done with him, he will no longer be a part of your nutritious breakfast.
Oh, okay.
There will be an evening gown match between the Jacked Canary and Gay Tommy Purr. That should be an interesting one. And Andrea the Giant will be in action. She will be in a handicap match against three full-grown men, which will probably look like midgets next to her. So I invite all the locals and tourists coming to Las Vegas on Saturday, October 22, to come and check it out. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. We've got all sorts of other guests, non-wrestling performers. We've got Bizarro and Shocker. Shocker is one of the guys that went right to the end with the Rock promo.
Oh, wow.
He's a really, really fun. Yeah, I think he was like the third last guy. I think he got knocked off in the very last round. He's a really, really funny magician, a masked lucha-style magician. He's really clever. And then we've got Enoch Scott, who is the front man for Zombie Burlesque in Las Vegas, and he will be performing some shenanigans that I cannot exactly describe, but it will be unique nonetheless. And there will be a superhero battle royal, which will be pretty cool in the name of Halloween. So everybody will be armed with costumes and superpowers for that match. So it is a must see. And plenty more where that came from. There will be plenty of stuff. Drugs Bunny, our Hood Slam brother, Drugs Bunny will be in action. That will be pretty cool. He'll be in a three-way with Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground and our breakout Freak Show Wrestling star, Black Annie. So that's a must-see match right there.
Wow, Drugs Bunny. Were you yourself a big fan of Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny show, the Looney Tunes?
I sure was, and I sure am. So seeing Drugs Bunny is smashing Raw and Warner Brothers together as far as I'm concerned. I think it's brilliant. I think he's a tremendous performer. He loves the fans. He loves to perform and make everybody happy. And I can get with that. And, you know, when you see a 6'3" guy in a bunny suit swinging around a carrot baseball bat and sniffing 5 pounds of cocaine in a pro wrestling ring, I mean, that only equals entertainment as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Okay. Well, would most of your closest fans associate you more with Yosemite Sam or Wile E. Coyote?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't get as crunched as much as Wile E. Coyote, and I'm not quite as loud as Yosemite Sam, but I think I'm somewhere in the middle.
Wow,
got the beard like Yosemite
good.
Sam. I got the skinny legs like Wile E. Coyote, so I guess I'm somewhere in the middle.
Okay. All right.
I'm far more handsome. I'm far more handsome than both of those characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd agree there. Yes, Wile E. Coyote was really scruffy. Not much of a morning person. Yes.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, Kazarni, Guar has members Sleazy P. Martini, Nipolus Erectus, Hans Orifice, Zizmac Degusha, the dearly departed guitarist Flacius Maximus, Beefcake the Almighty, Ballsack the Jaws of Death, Orderus Barungus, and Sawborg Destructo. Are there, now, let me, okay. My question is, are there any truth to the rumors that they will face the aging Rolling Stones in a Hell in a Cell match if the Rolling Stones can coax former bass guitarist Bill Wyman out of retirement?
I'll have to get with my PR department on that, but that sounds lovely, and that definitely sounds right up Freak Show Wrestling's alley. We did have Prince versus Michael Jackson in a Michael Jackson knife fight at the last show, where we did have Bruce Barber Beefcake on the show as well. That was fun.
Wow, who won the knife fight? Oh, Prince. Okay, very good. All right, can you explain to our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what a Gay Dolph, Hitler, and the Rainbow Reich T-shirt looks like, if it means to offend the politically far left, and if Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper have a Gay Dolph, Hitler, and the Rainbow Reich T-shirt?
I think Gay Dolph, Hitler is similar to Black Annie in the sense that they are both breakout stars at Freak Show Wrestling. Gay Dolph Hitler is our top villain, and I'd almost argue and say he's our top babyface because he is so lovable to hate that it's just, it's an anomaly. You know, he was supposed to be a one-hit wonder, and he knocked it out of the park so well that he's been on every show ever since. He's exactly what he sounds like. He's a 6'4", Nazi dressed in pink, and he is a fruity Führer, and he has his henchmen, the Rainbow Reich, and they goot-step and disco dance all over their opponents, like Jake the Snake and Eugene and all sorts of different guys, Boogeyman, all sorts of people. Gangrel, they've all been in the ring with Gay Dolph. Dr. Tom Pritchard has been in the ring with Gay Dolph, which made me laugh. That was pretty awesome. Yes, and we do have Gay Dolph Hitler T-shirts. They are pretty awesome. And he is out to offend anybody without a sense of humor. And that's about the long and short of Gay Dolph.
Wow, all right.
Anybody
very
without
good.
A sense of humor and real Nazis. He's there to empower everybody else.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's
but on,
nice.
On that note, I've got to get rolling. My phone is about to die, and we are going through the mountains here, so I'm going to jump off. But if you guys want to see more Freak Show Wrestling stuff, find me on Facebook at Freak Show Wrestling Official and on Twitter at Sins Freak Show. That's S-I-N-N-S Freak Show.
All right, Sin Bodhi, thank you very much for joining us. Safe travels, and we'd love to have
you
back in the future.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a great day, and I will see you guys all at the Freak Show.
All right. So fans, if you're going to be anywhere close to Las Vegas, definitely check out Freak Show Wrestling. A lot of big things going on there. Great entertainment. QT, Freak Show Wrestling sounds like something that might be a perfect venue for that Venti Lattes versus Kazarni match.
Well, right you are there, Sign Guy. And I was going to ask Kazarni what he thought of all the sightings of these clowns that are scaring people throughout the United States. These clowns are often seen at the edges of woods or along deserted roads. Quite a lot of clown sightings lately, although I have not seen any in the Northwest on my travels to various Portland Northwest wrestling matches. Have you?
I saw one last night in an alley on my way to the first ever Rainier Pro Wrestling show. Turns out it was Jake Jekyll.
Oh, Oh, I thought you were going to say it might have been in Marysville, and the clown turned out to be Devin South Park Bellinger. Very scary.
Well, that clown's always in Marysville.
Oh. Okay. Now, Sign Guy, can you give our Turnbuckle Terminal listeners a hint of what you might be at Halloween?
I cannot, because I'm afraid you'll institute a contest, and that would be tipping the hand if that contest were to happen.
Oh, okay. Now, what was the final outcome of the Dave the Beast Barnett's top three favorite benches of all time? Have you got any news on that?
You were supposed to get the news on that. That was your actual homework assignment.
Oh, okay. Well, well, it is now rumored that Dave the Beast Barnett's top, at least one of them, was an actual bench that Johnny Bench sat on outside the stadium, Red Stadium. Yes, it was a concrete bench, not wood.
Are we talking Crosley, Riverfront, or the Gap?
Oh, Riverfront, yes, Riverfront, yes.
All right, that makes sense. Now, QT, you have instituted a brand new contest. Guess what Beast Barnett will be for Halloween? How is that contest going?
Submissions have been slightly askew. Let's say people are slightly late in getting their submissions in, but I am pleased to announce that Buddy Highway has just submitted his guess. Yes. Yes.
What did Buddy Highway guess that Beast Barnett will be?
He has submitted an illegal immigrant voting in a Colorado district for Donald Trump. Illegal immigrant voting in the Colorado district. Yes. Near Fort Worth,
Colorado.
Well,
how would one be able to differentiate that they're voting in a Colorado district as opposed to, let's say, an Iowa district?
Well, they have T-shirts on them saying Rocky Mountain High for the politically correct.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Larry Amos even saw this T-shirt, from what I understand. Rocky Mountain High for the incorrect, yes. You should answer about that. Okay. Well, Sign Guy, how many people were on the card last night in the great metro area of Seattle?
There were quite a few people there on the card. Very interesting, to say the least, there at Evolve Fitness in Seattle for the very first ever Rainier Pro Wrestling Show.
Wow. All right. Was T-Rex there? That's one of my main questions. T-Rex, the referee, yes.
T-Rex was not there last night. The 3-2-1 battle referees were the referees in charge.
Oh, okay. Did Dimitri travel down from Everett?
Indeed so. Dimitri was there, as was Sage of Truth.
Oh, come on. I like it when Dimitri is there. He's a dashing figure in his tuxedo. Yes.
Well, he was not in a tuxedo. He was in civilian attire, but he was in attendance for the first ever Rainier Pro Show.
Oh, okay. Now, was Warrior Kid Zay there?
He was not. I don't believe Evolve's setup would have allowed it. I'm not 100% sure, but I saw no young people there, no one under the age of about 21, I believe. So I believe it is an adults-only type of atmosphere.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, were any rumored wrestling sources from Shelton, Washington, did they make the trip out there to Seattle?
Well, if they're only rumored sources, how would I know?
Well, you know how confirmed and unconfirmed go these days, Sign Guy, especially in the political realm. Those my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington are rumored to be pretty political. That's what I'm getting at. Yes.
Well, I did not personally go around asking everyone if they were from Shelton, so I cannot confirm or deny that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, how about the how about Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, who eats a
I
lot
did
of
not
pot roast
last night.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, boy, I'm crestfallen. There are rumors that QT Vopes and Coach Mike Jones might have a couple of wrestling projects in the new year. Yes.
Would one of them include getting Kizarni versus the Venti Lattes into a match at Freak Show Wrestling in Las Vegas?
Oh, that would be huge. I think the Venti Lattes would almost travel for free. I think they'd settle for a $10 a day per diem, which is dirt cheap, $10 a day. Because, Arne, if you're listening or you listen back to this episode, you know, you can contact one of the premier Venti Latte, vice presidents on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes. Ex vice president of the Turnbuckle Turmoil, Venti Lattes. Yes.
I see. Well, hopefully we'll get that match in the new year. Would also one of those projects be the return of El Ringo Tortuga as Coach Mike Jones' full-time manager? Is Ringo Tortuga looking to push out Hank Miller?
You could be dead on, Sangai. I can tell you that El Ringo Tortuga has been in talks with Coach Mike Jones to construct or outright buy a replacement wig that dastardly Marion stuffed down her pants at Blue Collar Wrestling. Yes.
Now, have you been able to locate anyone at all willing to dive into those pants and pull out that wig for Ringo Tortuga?
Yes, I have been in talks with Buddy Highway. Buddy Highway is the leading get voter, or person that will do this dastardly deed to retrieve said wig. And Gregor Petrov is second in line.
What about South Park Bellinger? That sounds like something he would do.
No, South Park Bellinger has been in talks with Paul Moonshine to retrieve said wig. Oh, it's true. It's true. Yes, he's been in contact.
I see. Now, if he were to retrieve said wig, would he be entitled to some sort of remuneration?
Remuneration? Can you define remuneration, Zongai?
Yes, that means when you are paid a fee for having performed a service.
Yes, there will be a fee paid to said retriever of wig plus psychological counseling.
Well, I hope South Park does the wig retrieving because he needs a lot of psychological counseling.
Well, very close to the third choice or the person on the list that is third ranked are fat guys in shorts.
Whatever happened to those guys?
Well, I think they got caught up in their shoot jobs, straight jobs, you know. And, I think they did pretty much reside in the denizens of Everett and Marysville, real far to travel in these hard economic times. Yes.
They used to have really good management, too.
Oh, very good management. You couldn't argue with that, yes. Now, Sonny, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who's going to be on next Friday? And I, QT Vokes, would officially like to apologize for missing last Friday's interview. However, I was in the coffee aisle at a QFC frantically putting in order Kabbalah Coffee and Seattle's best coffee, 5 Alarm and 4 Alarm. And a nice display, if you will. Yes.
Now, did you display more of the Italian roast Gevalia coffee, or was it more of the blonde roast?
Oh, neither. It was a 5 Alarm Seattle coffee.
But Gevalia,
yes,
is Swedish.
Well, it is. I thought it was French. I mean, Finnish coffee.
No, it's Swedish.
Oh, Swedish, okay. Wow, and those Swedens are very, how would you say, industrious. Yes, very industrious. Okay, so who do we have on Friday?
Whoa. If you were frantically putting these coffees on display,
yes,
and you spent all this time with the Gavalia coffee, which on its bag clearly states it is a product of Sweden, how did you think it was finished?
Oh, well, you know how it is. The corporations, all they're interested in is in the bottom line. It was like I had a slave owner over me cracking a whip and saying, faster, faster. One cannot really read the fine print, Sangai. Yes. Which begs
well, it's
the
not
question,
exactly
why
fine print. It's clearly labeled product of Sweden.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't see any Swedish mountains on the cover of the bag. That's what threw me off. Yes.
But you saw Finnish mountains?
Well, yeah, I saw Finnish fishermen. Finnish fishermen are known for their cold water cod. That's what I'm getting at. Cold water cod.
And you're saying there are pictures of fishermen catching cod on a bag of Gavalia coffee?
Well, I'm not sure if it was Gavalia coffee that had a picture of the fish on it. I'm just saying that there could be ground up fish in a coffee product stocked at QFC. It's good, kind of like fish coffee. Yes. After drinking this cup, you kind of swim upstream in the Cowlitz River. That's what I'm getting at.
That sounds horrible. And to answer your question, next Friday we'll have Dan the Beast Severn returning to the program.
Oh, Dan the Beast Severn. Now, Sonja, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if I maybe asked Dan the Beast Severn several, how would you say, off-the-road existential questions, maybe?
You mean several questions having to do with Dudley Do-Right?
Dudley Do-Right, yes. A beloved cartoon figure in the Northwest that was, I believe, limited to the Northwest, and only now has had exposure in the Midwest and the Southeast. Dudley Do-Right, yes.
I thought Dudley Do-Right was national.
Oh, I'm gonna have to do a check into that, just like I did the GWAR members today for Kazarni. Yes.
All right. Now, QT, do you know who we have on next Sunday?
Oh, next Sunday, I'm going to say, well, hopefully it's Coach Mike Jones, but I'm sure it isn't. So go ahead. Who do we have on? Yes.
Next Sunday, we have the Mighty Maccabee coming to the program. I'm hugely, hugely excited to finally get the Mighty Maccabee on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Wow, Mighty Mac! All right. For our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who might not be familiar with the Mighty Maccabee, can you give us a quick bio background?
Yes. If you spend a dollar and get the Grand Masters of Wrestling video series, you will see in the main event against the Iron Sheik, the Mighty Maccabee, as he fought for the Maccabean World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow, all right. Okay, very good. Well, Sunday, I also saw that YouTube video of Mr. Bodie and his, and it was entitled, Sid Bodie Shows Off His Custom Wrestling Figures. Now, at the 244 mark, he said that that making these figures were very labor-intensive. He had to grind, he had to sand, he had to sculpt, he had to paint, varnish, and lacquering. My question is, did you have any connections with Kazarni to make your action figure? That's my question.
No, it was actually not a Kazarni figure that I had. The gentleman was Ben Hamilton that made my figure. But QT, what the world wants to know is, what did you think of episode 247 of The Sign of the Times, the No Bumps edition?
The No Bumps edition probably ranks, I'm going to say number 8 in my Sign of the Times videos. As you know, Sign Guy, I probably have 3 videos of yours, Sign of the Times, in my top 5, and all involve waterfowl or a drunk squirrel. Yes.
I see. All right.
And one of my all-time favorites is a transgender bathroom where a boy just ignores you and goes right into the women's restroom. Talk about total anarchy. That was the Annie Richards is a Mean Broad edition. Yes.
Yes. Is that an Aaron Anarchy reference? Are you saying Aaron Anarchy had something to do with that?
He might have been behind the scenes. Yes. He might have paid that boy just to walk right by you and ignore you. Yes. Aaron Anarchy.
It's possible. Have you ever tag-teamed with Aaron Anarchy before?
No, but it's my fondest wish to return to Indiana and do so. Yes.
I see. I actually have tag-teamed with Aaron Anarchy.
Yes, and can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, for our history vault, how that went, for our history archives?
Going to have to blame Sabotage Styles for our loss.
Yeah, boy. Now, talk about people in dresses. Are there any truth to the rumors that Brandy Styles will be dressing in a flower print dress for Halloween? That might be huge.
That's something you'll have to take up with Brandy Styles.
I see. Okay, very good. All right. He always was on the fashion edge of cutting sense. Cutting edge of fashion sense. Yes.
All right, QT, will we see you at NWA Blue Collar later today for Brutal Bob Evans' debut with the company?
Sadly not, Sign Guy. Right after we hang up, I am doing probably a 1 hour and 10 minute plunge into our preparation for our fire alarm test for our apartment complex. Yes.
Are you going to study fire manuals in preparation for this test? And do you think you'll get a C-?
I don't know. I've always mulled the idea over of holding up a lighted match to our fire alarm, or maybe blowing it out and getting smoke in the apartment. Yes. Total anarchy again. Yes. But then again, I also have to be at work at 4 in the morning. Bad news. I'm singing the blues about that. Yes.
Will you be singing the theme from the show Blues Clues?
Oh, I'll probably look up something about from Blues Traveler. Blues Traveler, yes.
Now, didn't the lead singer pass away in Washington?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. I know that Guar's guitarist passed away, yes. But Blues Traveler, I will do some research on this, yes.
All right. Well, with that, I believe we will wrap this up. You can catch me at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling later today. Brutal Bob Evans in a tag match against Measure 11. The Dark Asylum versus the Role Models in a Falls Count Anywhere match. James St. John versus J.B. Moonshine. And also Bad Blood Wrestling Aries Toretta, so get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling, and we will be back with you next week.